The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're all doing well on this Thursday, February 16th, 2023. Hopefully you all are staying safe. Weather across the state of Alabama is supposed to be pretty bad today, but seems like Auburn, as it normally does, seems like Auburn is going to get a back end, maybe some rain tonight. It doesn't look like Auburn's going to get what they thought we were going to get, but as I always say, do not use me as your weatherman. Check the weather, keep up with that, but hopefully everybody's staying safe across the state of Alabama as some bad weather is moving through today. But so far here in Auburn, nothing too crazy. A little warm. Warm, a little overcast here in the Auburn Opelika area. Hope you're all doing well on this Thursday afternoon. This is the Thursday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. And a great show on plan for you today. Talking about all the craziness in college basketball last night, some big results in the SEC, some big results outside of the SEC that will relate to Auburn. We'll talk about all that coming up. Also, in case you did not see, the lineup for coaches at SEC Media Days was released today. That'll be in July in Nashville, so we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit here in hour number one as well. Then, coming up in hour number two, we're going to talk with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He joins us every Thursday here on the show, so we'll talk to him about all things SEC as basketball season is nearing the end of the regular season and baseball starts up tomorrow. So really excited to talk to Chris coming up in hour number two. But Carter, happy Thursday, man. It's almost the weekend, man. We're so close.
I know. Hey, it'll be good to get to the weekend. It's been a hectic week. but you know, it's been a fun week at the same time, because how about Auburn and Northwestern this week?
How about it? Well, let's jump right into it. Phone lines are open today. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts about anything going on in the world of sports, anything going on with college basketball, Auburn baseball tomorrow, anything you want to talk about, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. And how about last night, man? College basketball was awesome last night. You had ranked teams going against ranked teams. You had other ranked teams go down to unranked ones. You had a ranked team almost lose to possibly the worst team in college basketball. It was exciting last night. Some big results in the SEC. Like I said, some big results outside of the conference as well. And Carter, I know where we need to start. Northwestern defeats Indiana, the number 14 team in the country. And we continue to talk about this Northwestern team, A, because it's your school, and B, because it continues to become Auburn's best win on their resume.
Well, I think it's still technically Arkansas right now, but this Northwestern win, every time you look up, it's just creeping up, getting better and better and better. And that's all you need if you're Auburn. You need some wins to continue to strengthen themselves, especially with, I don't know if you saw this last night, the Florida win I don't think is going to get stronger than it is right now, because Colin Castleton broke his hand last night against Ole Miss, which I think at that point you can stick a fork in Florida because it's over. Like, that's the best player on the team, and now that he's gone, I don't know where they're going to go from here. But when you look at this Northwestern team, four straight AP top 25 wins, that'll do a lot for you in the KenPom and the net rankings. Ironically, last night didn't do much in either, as Northwestern went from 47th in KenPom to, do you know where they are right now?
I do not.
46th. Somehow beating the number 14 team in the country does not, I guess, generate a lot of movement. They actually, I think it's even funnier, in the net rankings, they went from 43rd to 43rd. So
there you go.
That's a little bit annoying, but you know, it's still a great win for Auburn. Maybe at the time we thought it was, oh no, this Northwestern team that's supposed to be at the bottom of the Big Ten picked 13th out of 14 teams. Auburn beat them by one.
In the ugliest game you'll see?
Yes, 43-42. And now they're standalone second in the Big Ten. And combine that with Auburn getting the big win against Missouri on Tuesday. This is big for Auburn's resume. Because Missouri can play their way into quad one status if they get hot down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, Auburn picks up a third quad one win. They have opportunities at Kentucky, at Alabama, and Tennessee at home to pick up quad one wins as well. But obviously, you got to handle business in Nashville first.
No doubt about it. Well, this game last night, Northwestern defeating Indiana, who's number 14 in the country, this game got out of hand early. Northwestern was up 39-20 at the half, and then it just fell apart in the second half, and they did just about
21 with 34 seconds left in the first half.
Yeah, and they did just about everything to blow this at the very end, and it was, if you watched it, it was fantastic. Northwestern had the basketball, and then Indiana stole the inbound, laid it in. Northwestern turned it over or had a missed shot, I can't remember, and then Indiana came the other way, almost made the half court heave at the end. I mean, this game got out of hand. It was crazy because Northwestern was up by so much, and then Indiana came all the way back on the road, by the way. This was at Northwestern, but Northwestern hangs on. And again, this is a good win for Auburn. Yes, it was in the non-con schedule, but when you talk about Auburn trying to get into the NCAA tournament, if they handle their business or if they don't handle their business, they need a team like Northwestern, who Auburn beat early on, to continue to win and build up in what makes Auburn's resume better, because that's how you get into the tournament. They don't use the eye test as much as I think they should. They go off the numbers, off the rankings and all that. I don't agree with that, but that's what Auburn's got to do right now. You got to win your games that you can, maybe steal one of those last three. I think you have to, and then bank on the teams you've beaten to just continue to win.
Well, if you go off eye test, you might be able to look at the Big Ten right now and say Northwestern's got the best backcourt in that conference, which has powered them to a lot of wins, especially when Boo Booey's played the way that he has. I'll tell you what, my other takeaway from that game, Trace Jackson Davis is so good.
He's insane.
He's played Northwestern twice. Here are his two stat lines. 18 points, 24 rebounds, 7 assists, and 4 blocks in the first round in Assembly Hall. And then last night, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Actually, he had 8 assists in the first round matchup, the first time around as well. And he had a couple blocks as well. The difference in this game is in the first half, Northwestern got after Indiana, turned him over, I believe, 6 times in that first half. They were out of sorts, taking some bad shots, built the lead, and they hung on. But holy cow, there are some really high-level big men in the Big Ten between Zach Edey, Trace Jackson Davis, and Hunter Dickinson. Those three are about as good as it gets, and they aren't the only ones. It's really impressive.
No, and I've watched Trace Jackson Davis play since he was a freshman in Indiana, and he is an unbelievable talent. I think his talents will translate to the NBA, but he makes Indiana go, and he is their go-to guy. He is extremely talented. He's averaged double digits his entire time at Indiana. I think it's 13 points, 19 points, 18, and then 20 right now is what he's averaging. Those are his 4-year stacks at Indiana, and this guy can absolutely play. And I know a ton of our listeners probably don't watch a lot of Big Ten basketball, but it's really interesting, and it's a completely different brand.
They have the 2 best centers in the country in that conference.
They do, and it's a completely different brand of basketball, and it's really interesting.
And Chris Collins said before that game last night, they interviewed him on the Big Ten Network before tip, and he said, look, Zach Edey and Trace Jackson Davis are the 2 best players in the country. Like, they're that good.
Yeah, and I think that's a conversation that could be had. And those guys are, they're experienced, and I think that's what gives them that status. And they're very, very good playing on extremely talented squads. And so Northwestern defeats Indiana last night. Again, another top 25 win for Northwestern. It helps Auburn's resume when trying to get to the NCAA tournament. Number 7, Virginia. We ironically talked about this game yesterday because we talked about how bad Louisville is. Louisville almost won that game last night. Virginia escapes Louisville, Kentucky, 61-58.
So I was talking with somebody who does I was talking with Andy Patton, who does the Locked On College Basketball podcast earlier today, because he had me on to talk about Northwestern. We talked about Louisville a little bit, and we said, if they don't get to 5 wins, you have to fire that staff. Like, this is a blue blood caliber program, national championship caliber program that is 3-23. 3-23. They have like 2 winnable games left on the schedule. With, I think that they might have a shot at Georgia Tech because they beat them earlier this year, and then Virginia Tech at home. Those are the only 2 potential wins for this team.
But they almost beat Virginia last night. They were within 3. 61-58.
They have a 15-11, 5-10 in conference play Virginia Tech team at home. At home. And VaTech, according to the matchup predictor, has a 90.7% chance to win that game.
Holy smokes, man. That is
one of the worst teams in the ACC coming to your gym. And it still gives them a 91% chance to win.
Yeah, Louisville's in a bad place, but they hang with Virginia last night. I thought it was interesting. We brought it up yesterday, just talking how bad Louisville is. They almost pick up an upset last night against Virginia. A big-time matchup in the Big East. Number 16, Xavier, went on the road to number 11, Marquette, a top 25 matchup in the Big East, and it showed. Marquette wins 69-68. Do not sleep on any team out of the Big East. I promise you, they are good. They are talented. Possibly the second best overall conference in college basketball is the Big East right now. Don't mess with those teams. If you see one of them in the tournament, you better watch out, because teams like Xavier and Marquette and UConn, those teams do not mess around. And the Big East is legit, man. I'm telling you, they are a really, really good conference.
I was looking at this earlier today. Have you realized how in the Big 12, one, how nuts that conference is? That conference is insane.
Just how good it is?
They have 8 teams. 80% of the conference is in the top 33 of the net rankings.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
7 of them are, no matter where you play them, are quad one games.
Mm-hmm. Which is why they are the best conference by far in college basketball.
Have you seen, like, people were, I guess, poo-pooing on Oklahoma despite that win against Kansas State because they're 13-13? I guess it was brought up because Alabama lost last night to Tennessee. But if you look at Oklahoma's schedule, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. You have Florida, who's sitting at 51 in the net rankings. If they move up one spot, and Oklahoma State, who's sitting at 33rd, if they move up 3 spots, by the end of the year, Oklahoma, from December 20th on, will play 19 of 20 games, and those 19 games will be quad one games.
That's insane. That's insane.
They'll play 19 of their final 20 games, and they will be quad one games. That's insane.
Which basically what that means is NCAA tournament teams. That's what that means. You're playing NCAA tournament teams day in and day out if you're Oklahoma right now. If you're in the Big 12, you're playing top 25 NCAA tournament teams.
So they are right now, I think they are in that stretch of in their last 15 games where they've played 13 quad one games. They have 4 quad one wins. They have 1 quad one or quad two loss, and then they have whatever the remainder would be. If they get to a point where if they find a way to get hot, they aren't even being mentioned on the bubble. But they have 5 games left. 4 of them are quad one games. I think if they somehow figure out a way to finish 4-1, if they get to 7 or 8 quad one wins, how do you not put them in a tournament?
I agree. I'm with you. And like, I think you could put every team in the Big 12 in the tournament. That includes
if they go 7-11 in quad one games, or if Florida gets there and Oklahoma State gets there, if they go 8-12 in quad one games, You have to put that team in the tournament. I don't just care what their record
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you can punish a team for playing that many quad one games. But no, I think if you put every team in the Big 12 in the NCAA tournament, they would all hold their own because all but three are ranked, and the ones that are not are West Virginia, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech. They're all at 500 or above. The only one is Oklahoma at 500 at 13-13. And you put that team and Texas Tech in the tournament, there's a chance they win their first round game.
In KenPom right now, the all 10 teams are 61st or higher in KenPom.
Exactly.
That is nuts.
Exactly. Which means you could put them all in the tournament and they hold their own. And I think it's impressive, man. It's unbelievable to see what the Big 12 has become. We'll get to our first break here in hour number one. Some other big results, including the ones in the SEC. How about what happened in Knoxville, Tennessee last night? We'll talk about it when we come back. Give us a call, 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader here for the Thursday edition of On the Line. Talking college basketball last night as we transition our focus to the SEC, where there was a top 10 matchup in Knoxville last night. We talked about it yesterday, and Carter, you were right, my friend. You were right. You had a feeling that the Tennessee Volunteers could get it done against Alabama, and they did. They take down the Crimson Tide 68-59, Alabama's first loss in conference play. They went in 12-0. They're now 12-1. This was a really good game, and Tennessee did it on the defensive end.
Yeah, and they did it without a couple key players. Alabama had Bediako, who's banged up, but played in the game. Tennessee was without Josiah Jordan-James and Julian Phillips, and it didn't matter. They figured out a way to go get the win, which is so impressive in a game like that. You got to feel like maybe things aren't on fire in Knoxville. I was very curious about this game because I think if Alabama had won, Tennessee would have lost 4 of 5, and then their next two games would have been in Rupp on Saturday and then at Texas A&M. We could have been talking about a stretch where this team really could have unraveled because the final two games of the year after they get their respite with South Carolina that everybody is legally required to get that automatic win, unless you're Kentucky, they finished with Arkansas at home and then at Auburn. I think it could have been very, very, very interesting had Alabama won that game. I just think it would have been...
I agree.
It would have done wonders for Auburn. Auburn all of a sudden would have been very much alive for the 3 seed in the SEC tournament.
Well, you look at this Tennessee team from a national scale, and people started to question what this Tennessee team was and how good they actually were, right? Because, like you said, coming into the game last night, Tennessee had lost to Florida, right? They did beat Auburn in a game they should have lost. And then they lost to Vanderbilt and Missouri back-to-back games on back-to-back game-winning shots. And people started to really question, how good is this Tennessee team? And last night was a perfect time and a perfect example for them to show, hey, we are for real. We are one of the best two teams in the SEC. And according to the result, as of right now, you could say they're the best because they beat the best. I still think Alabama's a better team neutral floor. But last night in Thompson Bowling, Tennessee did it on the defensive end. They held an Alabama team that scores over 80 points a game to just 59 points. That's how you beat Alabama. You shut them down. You don't let them score. You don't let them run. And you don't let them knock down threes. And also, you hold Brandon Miller, who's the best freshman in college basketball, to just 15 points. And I know it's like, well, 15 is still a decent amount. Yes, but this guy's good enough to go off for 30 any given night. And if you hold him to 15 points, 4 of 11 shooting, where 4 of those points were from the free throw line, that is a win in my book. Tennessee defeats Alabama 68-59. And again, on the defensive end is where they got it done.
I told you going into this game, you had the number 5 defensive team in the country playing the number 1 defensive team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The over-under was 146.
Yeah.
Like, that felt like stealing. There was no way this game was going to get to 146. I mean, it didn't. It barely got to 120.
Yeah, well, I just don't think we've seen Alabama's offense be shut down like this. And we haven't. This is the first time we've really seen their offense be shut down like that.
Well, I mean, you do
besides Oklahoma,
have that Oklahoma game.
Which they still scored 10 more in that game, but they scored 69 there. They scored 90 in their loss to Gonzaga. And they scored 67 against UConn way back in the beginning of the year. So this Alabama offense just doesn't get shut down like this. And it wasn't that Alabama was missing a ton of shots. Tennessee just played a really good defensive game. That's why they're the number one defensive team in the country. And they shut Alabama down. Now, could they do that on a consistent basis? Probably not, because I'm a believer in college basketball that great offenses will eventually take over and beat great defenses. But in a single game like this, Tennessee did their job, and they beat Alabama straight up last night.
And you knew that this was more than likely. I mean, this had to happen at some point. It's unbelievably difficult in a Power 5 or in a high major conference like the SEC to run the table. I mean, what? We've seen Kentucky do it like once in the last like decade, 15 years or so. When they had that undefeated team that ended up losing at some point.
They lost in the Final Four to Wisconsin.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I forgot.
Frank Kaminsky was the one that took him down in the Final Four. Yep. They were undefeated all the way through.
Didn't Duke win that national championship against Wisconsin?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, but we've seen really, really good teams not run the table in conference play. So it was a matter of time. But you know what this does now, man? You know what this does? That game between Alabama and A&M in College Station could be for the one seed in the SEC tournament.
Which is really, really interesting. It's really interesting. And I told you yesterday on the show, I said I was confident in this. I said if Alabama wins at Tennessee, if they were to have won last night, I think Alabama would have run the table because I think they're that good and Tennessee's the best defensive team that they are going to play. And Auburn did a pretty good job defending them. They held them to 77 points, which 8 of those were garbage time points. But this Tennessee team is legit defensively, and they did their job. They held Alabama to 59 points, and they just beat Alabama. Now, again, if these two teams were to meet in Nashville coming up in a few weeks in the SEC tournament, in the SEC championship game or semifinals, Alabama's probably going to win because their offense is just that good. And on a neutral site, Alabama should have a decent amount of fans there, right? But last night, Tennessee did their job. They take down number one, and Alabama gets their first SEC loss of the season. I want to talk about another result last night that I think was really, really important when you look at the SEC. You brought them up just a second ago. You look at Texas A&M. They hosted Arkansas last night, and they got a gritty win against an Arkansas team that has started to climb a little bit in the rankings, climb a little bit in their confidence level. And A&M, again, they somehow get it done. They beat Arkansas 62-56. They're 11-2 in conference play. Carter, they're off to their best start in conference play as Texas A&M. 11-2.
Yeah. And what a missed opportunity for Arkansas in this game. They had a 12-point lead with 26 seconds left in the first half. They gave up a bucket there at a three at the very end of the half, and that kind of was what started to turn the momentum in A&M's favor. By the way, this game was gross for a long time.
Yes, it was.
In the first 10 minutes and 17 seconds, there was 15 total points.
Mm-hmm.
A&M had 4 points in the first 10 minutes and 7 seconds.
Oh, it was
four
bad.
4 points.
It was bad.
And somehow won the game. That's like daggum Wisconsin last night. Did you see that? Wisconsin didn't hit a field goal for the last 11:45 of the game and still beat Michigan by 4.
That was Tuesday night. But yes.
But like,
yeah,
that's
what I'm
insane.
Saying. Yeah. No, I
like,
agree.
There's so many bad basketball moments in this college basketball season. And maybe it's a product of the fact that I don't feel like we have a truly dominant team in this country.
No.
We don't have. In years past, we've had a couple that we can point to that you're like, okay, that team's special. That team's going to be deep in this tournament. I feel like just about anybody can lose at any point.
Yeah.
Maybe the Big 12 is going to have a few teams. But then again, there's like six teams that you could choose from that could make deep runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. College basketball, it is very thin. It is very even this year. Kentucky gets a quad one win at Mississippi State last night. A much needed win for the Cats. We got to get to a bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we'll talk SEC Media Days coming up in July.
Jacob Goetz and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goetz, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. We'll get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. Welcome in, man.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
We're doing great, Terry. How are you?
Pretty good. The big man for Tennessee, how did he do last night? Because I've always felt like the big center.
Which one?
That was kind of got to give Alabama trouble. Which one? The big one that was doing all the talking against Auburn, quite honestly.
I got you. Because he doesn't even start for that team, actually, when you look at it. He's the backup because they have Idu, the other seven-footer on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Idu had 12 and 11, which is impressive. But Plavchich off the bench had 10 and 4. He was 4-4 from the field, 2-3 at the line in his 13 minutes. That's pretty daggum efficient for a big man.
Yeah, and I just think that's the key to beating Alabama because they're so good around the perimeter, but they lack in the middle. And I just don't think a true big man like somebody at Purdue or Tennessee, who I just spoke of, can really do some damage there.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Northwestern goes, Carter, I think they're becoming the most dangerous team in the tournament.
You know,
they're that team that nobody wants to play, and I don't think there's any way in the world they're going to be a 7 seed now. I think they're all the way up to a 5 or 4.
I don't think they're there yet.
CBS has them as a 5 seed today.
Interesting. Interesting. I think that's probably a little bit high. In a lot of the metrics, Terry, they're getting held back by – they played a very, very weak non-conference schedule because and I think part of that is because – maybe they needed to build some confidence because nothing was expected of this team. This team was picked in the Big Ten to come in 13th by literally everybody. Sports Illustrated had their preseason picks for the Big Ten, and next to postseason projection, it said better luck next year for Northwestern coming into this year. And they had zero players on the All-Big Ten team, and they have emerged, and they've got a bunch of guys that have stepped up, and they are really tough defensively. And they find a way to make games very different. Like, Sunday will be an interesting one because it's the number one offense in the Big Ten going against them. And the last time they got them, it was at Iowa. Iowa got hot. Iowa broke it open late. And Northwestern was absolutely gassed because they were playing their fourth game in 8 days. But if we see Northwestern win that game, then, yeah, there's nobody in the country that Northwestern can't beat.
Well, right now it's looking like Auburn's most impressive win.
That's what I keep saying, man.
That and Arkansas. Arkansas is hanging in there because they've played such a difficult schedule, and I think they're getting better despite that loss at A&M, which, man, that would have been a real feather-in-the-cap win for them as they try to solidify their NCAA. Well, I think they're in the NCAA tournament no matter what because they're a top 25 net team or whatever it is right now. But, yeah, Arkansas and Northwestern are both Auburn's two marquee wins. Auburn does not have another one. Missouri could get there, but not right now.
And according to CBS today, Terry, because ESPN hasn't updated their bracketology, CBS updated theirs today. They have Arkansas as an 11 seed in the first four against Wisconsin up in Dayton. Also, A&M playing West Virginia in the first four as well.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be.
That'd be awesome.
And they said a bunch of schools you've never heard of.
Well, good teams.
Those
oh
would be
my goodness. Real,
which I went to when I was living up there. I went to the first four a couple of times, and I got to see Syracuse play one time and a couple of other teams. But I never saw matchups like that. Arkansas versus Wisconsin and A&M versus West Virginia. Holy smokes!
West Virginia is 22nd in the net rankings, mm-hmm. and CBS has them in the first four.
Yep.
Now, Jacob, were you up there when Syracuse had Jerry McNamara? It seemed like he was there for 100 years.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but
yeah, I think he finally ran out of eligibility in about his 10th year, right?
Arkansas's 21st in the net rankings also, by the way. So that's two teams in the top 22 of the net rankings, which is supposed to be the number one metric that they build the tournament field off, and they've got them in the first four.
But you got to play off the rank or off of records too, right? I mean, you got to play off of records. Like game results do matter, right? And I think that's important. I think eye test is important. Arkansas,
West Virginia does not have a loss that is not a quad one, or a quad two or lower loss. Yeah. They are 5-11 in quad one. They are 3-0 in quad two, 1-0 in quad three, and 6-0 in quad four. They don't have a even kind of bad loss. A quad two loss is not bad. All of their losses are great losses.
Yeah.
And you have them in the first four? That's crazy to me.
Gee, that sounds so funny to say a quality loss.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like Terry, I don't think I've ever seen a team like that literally has 11 losses on the year and not a single one is outside of the quad one category.
Well, you guys were talking about Wisconsin, Duke, Wisconsin, Kentucky earlier. Mm-hmm. I think if Wisconsin would have had more than a day's rest, they would have beat Duke.
Probably, yeah.
I think that national title by Krzyzewski was kind of tainted because I think Wisconsin was better than them.
That was a great Kentucky team that they beat. I mean, again, that was an undefeated team, very talented. Carl Anthony Towns year, yeah. And look, it took Wisconsin every bit to beat them, and they pulled away right there at the end. But yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a little bit more time preparation maybe on Duke. I think Wisconsin. That was a very underrated Wisconsin team.
They were really good.
They were. I mean, they were really, really good. Really good. But that's what makes the NCAA tournament so special. We were talking about how there's just no great above and beyond team right now. I think Purdue and Alabama probably, if you had to pick two teams, you'd put them there. But we've seen it. I mean, you saw it last night. Alabama is beatable when they don't have a great offensive performance and when they play a good defensive team. And when you have an off day, that happens in the NCAA tournament, Terry. Same thing with Purdue. If you play a team like Northwestern, who just is playing really well, you can also get beat. So this NCAA tournament, as we are literally we're 3.5 weeks away from Selection Sunday. It's going to be a fantastic tournament, and there will not be a perfect bracket anywhere close to a perfect bracket because of all of the games that are just going to go 50-50 and down to the wire this year.
I mean, the number one team in the net rankings right now is Houston, and they've lost to Temple this year. Like, I don't feel great. What their losses are Temple and Alabama, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, I don't feel great about them when you step out of the American, and all of a sudden you're playing tournament teams every game in an NCAA tournament.
That's what makes it fun.
There's not any teams that you look at and you're like, that is lock it in, Elite Eight, Final Four caliber team to me.
I mean, and I try to always pay attention what team is peaking the best. That's what that's what I think about Northwestern, Carter. I think they're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, and that's why you see teams who make runs to the Final Four as 7 or 8 seeds, right? I mean, how about UConn and Kentucky way back in, 2013 maybe, when it was UConn who beat Kentucky in the championship game as an 8 seed? Mm-hmm. Kentucky was a 7 seed. You're absolutely right, Terry.
That UConn team, that UConn team had to win a bunch of games at the end of the year, had to win the Big Ten tournament to get in. Mm-hmm. They ran through the Big East tournament, and then they won all the way through the tournament. That was one of the greatest runs we've ever seen.
Wasn't that the Kemba Walker team?
That was.
Yeah,
it was Kemba and Shabazz.
Shabazz Napier, yeah.
The last thing, guys, the Alabama game with Texas A&M at the end, is that at Texas A&M or at Alabama?
It is at A&M, I believe. I'm pretty sure it's at A&M.
Like last night for them.
Yep, it is at A&M, March 4th, 11 a.m. tip.
And Terry, another atmosphere like last night.
It's their only matchup with A&M, I believe, which means it's the last game of the season, which means if A&M can just hold serve with Alabama through these next 4 games, then that game is for the number one seed in the SEC tournament.
Mm. Should be a lot of fun, guys.
Yeah,
I really enjoy the NCAA tournament, so look forward to it. Take care, guys. Have a good day. Appreciate
the call, Terry. No, NCAA tournament, it's my favorite. It is my absolute favorite. It's just so much fun because of the unpredictability, because of the craziness. Sure, obviously the game winners and the upsets, right? But this year is going to be one of the craziest NCAA tournaments because, like we keep talking about, there is no one just absolute put-your-life-on-bet team to win the national championship. you would really struggle to find a handful that you could guarantee or almost guarantee are going to make a run at the Final Four. It could be any of these teams, right? Any of the Big 12 teams, any of the Big East teams, a handful out of the SEC, a handful out of the Big 10, one or two out of the ACC, and some of the ones that are not in these major conferences who you just never know what you're going to get. So I'm excited, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I think when you just look at the nightly scores in college basketball, it will tell you how fun and how crazy this NCAA tournament is going to be. I look forward to conference tournaments, too. I love the conference championship week when you've got, in the early part of the week, you have the smaller conference championships, teams winning automatic bids to the tournament. And then as you get into Wednesday, Thursday, the bigger conferences get going, right? SEC's being played in Nashville. The Pac-12's being played out in Vegas. Big East in New York, right? Is the Big Ten in Indy? Is that where it is, Indianapolis, for the Big Ten tournament? Or do they move it around? I can't remember.
I can't recall. I think it is.
I think it's in Indy.
I think they basically do everything.
Yeah, pretty
Indy.
Much. But that's what I'm saying. I love conference championship week. Watching teams compete, fighting for rankings and fighting for spots in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, it's
a lot
of fun.
Oh, okay.
It's at the United Center.
Is it always in the United Center? Or do they move it? Like I said, I can't remember if they move it around or if they normally stay in one spot. But again, conference championship week is fun, and then it's NCAA tournament. So should be a fun year, Terry. We appreciate the call. I do want to get into the news that came out today about the 2023 SEC Media Days in Nashville this year. They released the schedule for SEC Media Days coming up this season, and they released the coaches that are going to be there on each day. Now, it's not the actual order. It is just the list of who's going to be there on what day. But excited because if you remember, we were actually live at SEC Media Days last week when it was in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame. We had great content. It was a fantastic week over at SEC Media Days. And looking forward to doing that again. And you look at the schedule for this year. It'll be July 17th. It'll be July 17th through July 20th, so Monday through Thursday. And the SEC released the coaches that are going to be there on each day. So on Monday, July 17th, it'll be Brian Kelly from LSU, Drinkwitz from Missouri, and Fisher from Texas A&M. That'll be on Monday. Tuesday, Hugh Freeze from Auburn, Kirby Smart from Georgia, Zach Arnett from Mississippi State, and Clark Lee from Vanderbilt. So there's your first day of four coaches, Freeze, Smart, Arnett, and Lee. Wednesday, Alabama Day, Nick Saban, Sam Pittman for Arkansas, Billy Napier for Florida, and Mark Stoops for Kentucky. So that's a very stacked day. You will definitely hear Billy Napier get some heated questions about his job security and what he's going to do at Florida.
Going into year two. I mean, if he has a bad year, I mean, if he goes 5-7, sure, but
I guarantee he's going to get questions about it. I guarantee it.
I think that is just a little much.
I'm just telling you what's going to happen. He will get questions, and he will have to defend himself and the way he runs that program. I promise you it'll happen. Do I agree with it? No, but it will happen. And then on Thursday, July 20th, Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss, Shane Beamer, South Carolina, and Josh Heupel from Tennessee. So that is the lineup for SEC Football Media Days here in 2023. And again, it'll be in Nashville this year. So excited to see what that looks like and how they run that. But Media Days is so much fun. It's a big week.
By the way, back to answer your question about the Big Ten men's basketball tournament, it bounces generally back and forth between the United Center in Chicago and Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, but they've had it in D.C. in 17. They had it in Lucas Oil in Indianapolis in 21, and then they had it in Madison Square Garden in 2018.
I don't remember that, because the Big East always does their tournament at Madison Square Garden.
I don't know, but they've bounced around a few times, but it mainly goes back and forth between Chicago and Indianapolis.
Well, I mean, both of those make sense. I mean, big cities in the Big Ten are Chicago and Indianapolis, so that makes sense. So, but yes, looking at the schedule for SEC Media Days, those are good lineups. I think those are all pretty spread out. Obviously, Hugh Freeze there on Tuesday, July 18th for Auburn. He'll be there with Kirby Smart, so Auburn and Georgia on the same day. And again, doesn't mean this is the order. I think they just listed them alphabetically or whatever. But excited to see what that will be like. Of course, Hugh Freeze, his first year as Auburn's head coach at SEC Media Days, he'll have a lot of questions. He'll have a lot to talk about, hyping up his program a little bit.
Yeah, I think it'll be a really exciting time to see him in his first media days at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting group he's going to be with. I don't know if we know a lot about Zach Arnett's personality. We know Clark Lee is an intense guy that loves his alma mater and his school that he's at. And
has very high expectations. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he said that Vanderbilt's going to be the number one program in the country, which, okay.
Okay.
maybe in like the upside down or something. I don't know. But, and then of course, Kirby Smart, 2-time defending national champion. That's a good group to be there together. You're probably going to get a lot of questions asked to Kirby Smart and Hugh Freeze about the other one, just because of that rivalry and because it's Hugh's first year at Auburn. I'd imagine you're going to hear a lot about that. That first day, Brian Kelly and Jimbo Fisher, well, that group's going to give you a lot of interesting answers because those are three weird cats that sometimes can't shut up and say dumb things.
Well, I'm interested to see what Brian Kelly says because he went first this past year when we were in Atlanta. He went first and I had the opportunity to ask him a question, and a lot of people did, and a lot of it was about his time at Notre Dame, right? And how he was going to adjust from coaching at Notre Dame up there, coming to the SEC at LSU. And now he's got a little bit of, yeah, I did that. Here's what we did in year one. How can we repeat that and get better in year two? I'm excited to see what he says about that.
I think the third day is the most boring day. I think those are personalities that are just meh. Like, Sam Pittman's got the best personality of that group.
And, yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I mean, he's a little bit, like, remarkable. You know, Saban's going to be Nick Saban. Billy Napier, okay, that doesn't move the needle for me. Mark Stoops, that definitely doesn't move the needle. He might be the most boring coach in the conference. Why don't they stick Lane Kiffin on a day where they're with a Nick Saban, with a Hugh Freeze, with a Brian Kelly or a Jimbo Fisher?
Because Lane Kiffin deserves his own day.
No, well, I mean, he's with big personalities in Shane Beamer and Josh Heupel, but stick him with one of these personalities that he always takes jabs at and just see if you can light a little bit of a fire and get some... Throw some gasoline on it and get something rolling.
No, I'm with you. Heupel was good, and he'll have a lot to talk about as Tennessee coming off a huge season again. So that is the SEC Media Days lineup. They released the coaches on the days on coming up July 17th through July 20th. That'll be in Nashville. So excited to get there. Excited to give you guys so much content like we did last year. Should be a lot of fun. We got to get to our final break here in hour number one. We'll come back and wrap up this first hour here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins and Carter Bird with you here in the ESPN 106.7 studio. And it's Thursday, which means tomorrow is opening day for Auburn baseball, opening day for college baseball for most teams, and a very busy weekend for Auburn athletics in general. You've got softball, who is hosting the Tiger Invitational. They're hosting a big tournament over at J&B Moore Field.
I always love the beginning of softball season because Auburn finds so many creative ways to name these opening. They host all these teams at the beginning of the season and these like little round robin tournament things, and they have like a different name for all of them, and it's just funny to me.
Yeah, well, it's exciting too, and if you get a chance to go over to J&B Moore Field, it is a lot of fun. It's a smaller ballpark, so you get a chance to really have a great seat.
Here you go. It's the Tiger Invitational this weekend. Next weekend, it's the Plainsman Invite. Then the week after that, it's the Jane B. Moore Memorial. So
there you go.
They always find creative ways to name those, and I love that.
Well, there you go. Well, this weekend is the Tiger Invitational. Do you have the list of teams pulled up right now for that, for the Tiger Invitational?
X'd out of it, but I can pull it back up. Give me 1 second.
Well, as Carter pulls that up, I probably should have.
It is Austin Peay, Villanova, Dayton. Those three.
There you go. Dayton Flyers.
So they play Austin Peay tomorrow at 3, Villanova tomorrow at 5:30, then Villanova again Saturday at 2:30, Dayton Saturday at 5, and Austin Peay Sunday at 2:30.
So lots of softball action. If you're in town and have a chance to get over to Jane B. Moore Field, watch the team play. They will. They're trying to improve on a 4-1 start off of last weekend is the softball team. Baseball, like we've mentioned, has opening weekend. Opening day is tomorrow against Indiana, and they're playing all weekend long. You've got Auburn basketball, Auburn men's team on the road at Vanderbilt. The women's team playing tonight against Texas A&M. That is at home in Neville Arena. So, a lot of stuff going on. You have gymnastics, who I believe is on the road this weekend. So lots of stuff going on with Auburn Athletics this weekend. If you're in town, baseball, softball, if you need two tickets to baseball, how about we give away two tickets right now? Two tickets to the Sunday series finale, Auburn versus Indiana. Give us a call. First one gets them. 334-321-1390. We'll be back for hour number two of the Thursday edition of On the Line.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Carter Bird.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're all doing well on this Thursday, February 16th, 2023. Hour number one is officially in the books. You know what that means. Hour number two is underway right here on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of the first hour, lots of college basketball talk. We also previewed SEC Media Days as the coaching lineup has been released. What coaches will be there on what day. Hugh Freeze will be on Tuesday this year for SEC Media Days in Auburn. So if you missed any of our conversation in the first hour, be sure to go and catch up with the podcast. You can find it commercial free right after the show. Just go to ESPNAU.com. Click on the podcast center and you'll find it right there, or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. So again, commercial free right after the show, so be sure you go and do that. But coming up here in hour number two, gonna look at updated tournament predictions for Auburn after their win on Tuesday against Missouri, and with the results of last night's games, as we look ahead to the weekend in the rest of the season, we'll look at updated tournament projections for Auburn, other SEC teams, and other teams around college basketball. Then, coming up at 3:30, we'll have Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He'll join us in about 30 minutes to talk SEC basketball, maybe even preview some SEC baseball as well. So, until then, phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you and your thoughts. 334-321-1390. Any of your comments, questions, concerns, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 334-321-1390. And Carter, as we start looking at updated tournament projections, ESPN has yet to update theirs, but CBSSports.com, they have updated as of 11:47 this morning. And we talked about this a little bit when Terry called in hour number one, but you look at Auburn right now, according to CBS, they are an 8 seed paired up against the 9-seeded Pittsburgh, with the winner of that to take on more than likely the 1-seeded Purdue Boilermakers.
Yeah, and that Pittsburgh team, that is a very kind of pesky, difficult Pittsburgh team that can...
Scrappy.
Yeah, I mean, they were kind of like some of the other teams we've seen in college basketball this year. Not a lot was expected of them this year. They're 19-7. 12-3 in ACC play, tied with Virginia for the top of that conference, with Miami a half game behind them. So it's been It's been an interesting year for that Pitt team because they really, like, the first time that they showed me anything was I watched them blow the doors off Northwestern in a game where they just shot crazy from three.
That was early. That was not early non-con play.
And then since from that point on, they have continued to be a difficult out and continued to hang around. And it's fascinating that they have played their way into the NCAA tournament field right now on CBS.
Our good friend Jack Cutton has his own version of, like, he has a whole math formula, basically, where he puts together a bracket of his own. He has Auburn as a 7 seed right now, and I assume that's around where ESPN will have Auburn, anywhere from that 7 to 9 seed. Is that where Auburn should be right now, in your opinion? Is that about right for this team, for Auburn, as it stands right now, coming off the win against Missouri before they go on the road to Vanderbilt this weekend? We'll say averaged out as an 8 seed. Is that right for this team right now, given the teams they've beaten and the teams they've lost to with the schedule that they played?
I think it is. I think that's a good spot for Auburn right now. I would say that if the tournament was going to happen today, I do think Auburn is an 8 seed. And if they handle business against Vanderbilt and Ole Miss, they'll be in the tournament. And then how they do in the final 3 games, that will determine what the seed is. I think it could be anywhere from a 6 to an 11. You could be in the first 4, or you could be healthily in the tournament playing an 11 seed with a potential path to a deeper run, in like a Sweet 16 kind of run, depending on your matchups. If I were Auburn, I would very much like to secure a spot in the round of 64 and not have to play extra games where matchups may not be in your favor. I would not love to be matched up with an 11 seed Arkansas right now in the first 4 if I'm anybody, much less Wisconsin like CBS has, or Texas A&M or West Virginia, both of those teams.
No, I wouldn't want to play any of those teams right now.
Those are three of those first 4 teams look very difficult, and some of the metrics are really good for those teams, and frankly, I'm shocked that they are first 4 teams.
But here's what you have to remember, as it is February 16th, there's still 3 weeks until 3.5 weeks until Selection Sunday. All of these are going to change. Now, some teams are going to stay pretty put. I mean, you're looking at your 1 seeds are probably pretty locked up. Your 2 seeds, more than likely, locked up.
I don't think your 1 seeds are locked up at all. I really don't.
Who drops out? Houston or Kansas?
I mean, there are losable games for Alabama. I don't think they're really losable games for Houston. But Kansas is in the Big 12. They very well could lose a handful of games, 3 games down the stretch. I mean, just with how good that conference is.
I think the only 1 seed that would drop would be Kansas. Alabama's not going to lose their 1 seed. They're not. They're not going to lose their 1 seed. I think even with the loss last night, I think they may lose 1 more in the regular season, and that would be on the road at Texas A&M to end the season. They're going to be more than likely the 1 seed in the SEC tournament. That'll give them a great chance to make a run in Nashville. And then Alabama will be a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. They will be.
Yeah. And then you look at, I agree with you, they will be. But there are games that they could trip up on. I don't think these are locked in. You look at Purdue right now, who's lost 2 of the last 3. They're a 1.5-point favorite on the road at Maryland tonight. So, I mean, that's a losable game. Then they get an Ohio State team that is probably at home they should win. But then Indiana, who they already lost to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a matchup of 2 phenomenal big men. Road game at Wisconsin. Wisconsin team that is scrapping for its tournament life right now. I don't think that they're a tournament team right now. I think they're really low in the net rankings. And frankly, I'm shocked that CBS has them. They're 77th in the net rankings, and CBS has them in the first 4.
Wow.
I'm shocked that CBS has them that high.
Yeah.
That feels crazy to me because I don't I don't think the schedule is all that favorable for Wisconsin to get in.
And they should have lost the other night against Michigan. Like you said, they didn't score for the last 10 minutes of the game, and Michigan still couldn't beat
them. They play a good Rutgers team at home this weekend, then they get a good Iowa team the game after that.
Rutgers, a 10 seed.
Michigan. Michigan gets a second crack at them on the road. Then they're at home against Purdue. That's a really tough four-game stretch for them, and they probably have to win at least two, maybe three of those to secure, because then they get the final game against Minnesota, who's the worst team in the Big Ten.
Yes, but I also want to remind people that if you bank on a team making a, quote, making a run in their conference tournament and using that to solidify a spot in the NCAA tournament, I point back to Texas A&M last year. And that's not the only example, but that is a very relevant example.
You can kind of point to Texas A&M this year. They're not solidified despite being 10-2 in conference play. That's stupid.
Oh, I agree. But what I'm saying is, so again, if Texas A&M is in this spot where they're on the bubble because they're a 12 seed right now playing in the first four in Dayton, Ohio.
Sorry, 11-2.
A&M cannot bank on going to the SEC tournament and solidifying their resume in that tournament. You can't do it. Same thing for a Wisconsin team. Same thing for an Arkansas team. Because the selection committee, however you want to call that, for the bracket, right, for the NCAA tournament, they have proven to us time and time again, the conference tournaments don't matter. The only reason, the only way you solidify yourself to get to the NCAA tournament using the conference tournament is if you win the whole darn thing and you get an automatic bid, which, by the way, should be based off of the regular season champ, not the conference tournament champion, but that's a separate argument. But what I'm saying is a lot of these bubble teams that are banking on going to their conference or tournament and making a run, or if they have fans that are banking on their team to go and make a run, Auburn could be in this situation. Now, the game on Wednesday gave us a lot more confidence in that, but if Auburn would have dropped that game on Wednesday, or if they dropped, or Tuesday, sorry, or if they drop this game coming up against Vanderbilt and they lose those final three games to Tennessee, Alabama, and Kentucky, and Auburn has to go to the SEC tournament to build a resume to try to get to the tournament, I would not feel good about that. That is not a place you want to be in today's game of college basketball. You do not want to rely on your conference tournament to solidify a spot in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think that that's 100% fair. When I look at this field, I don't think anybody's 100% locked in to their current seed. I mean, Kansas has Baylor this weekend. Then they're on the road at TCU. Then they get West Virginia. And then they get Texas Tech at home. But then they go on the road to Texas to end their regular season. There are losable games for just about everybody. I mean, even Houston has a couple games. They are on the road at Memphis in their regular season. They still have to play Tulane, who's one of the better teams in that conference. I mean, I don't think anybody is just locked in to their current seed.
I didn't see this, but CBS's bracket, and we're on CBSSports.com because, again, ESPN's Joe Lunardi has not updated his bracketology yet, but according to CBS, they have Kentucky as an 11 seed now after their win last night on the road against Mississippi State. It was a good win. That's like their second quad one win. I think they're like two in.
I don't think it was a quad one win. Was it at Mississippi State? Yeah, mm-hmm. It was. It was a quad one.
Yeah, it was in the hump. Mm-hmm. So that would have been their, I believe it's only their second quad one win. First or second, but
it's
they
their
went
second,
from.
I think they were 1-7 in quad one. Before that, they hopped up four spots from 44th in the net to 40th.
So they moved from outside of most people's brackets into the tournament based off of last night's win. Do you agree with that?
I think CBS is being very generous to big names in this. I mean, Wisconsin's not, they're not a tournament team right now at 15-10 and 77th in the net rankings. And yet they have them in the first four. That's not realistic. And I don't understand the other three teams in that first four.
I agree.
Teams that are very high in the net. I mean, you look up and down the list. I think they're being a little bit ruthless to Tennessee. Tennessee's third. I think they're third in the net rankings.
And they have them as a three seed, does CBS.
What are we doing?
Missouri's a seven seed above Auburn after getting waxed by 40. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. It's interesting to look at the different, and that we've talked about this before. It's interesting to look at the different outlets and see how they rank their teams and make their brackets, especially here down the stretch in late February, or I guess mid to late February. But I don't agree with Kentucky as an 11 seed. I just don't.
Here's another great example. Do you know where St. Mary's is in the net ranking right now?
No. Not off the top of my head.
They are the sixth team in the net rankings, and CBS has them as a sixth seed.
Yeah.
A sixth seed.
Against that Kentucky team.
I don't love this CBS bracketology, to be honest with you. I'm gonna level with you. I don't think it's great.
Well, that's totally fair. I don't know how often ESPN's updating theirs. Probably every few days.
Northwestern's too high. But I'll say that. Northwestern's too high. Several teams are way too low. A couple teams are very too high, like Wisconsin. It's a weird bracketology. I don't love that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you have Mississippi State as an 11 seed right now in CBS's bracketology. So look, SEC's got to be represented in March Madness. There's no doubt. How many teams will be there? It's a good question because of those bubble teams like Arkansas, like Texas A&M, like Kentucky, who is still a bubble team. So keep that in mind. Kentucky is still a bubble team.
How about a 15 seed in the South? The Samford Bulldogs.
How about that?
Bucky Ball. I think they took sole possession of first place in the SoCon last night. They're playing some good ball right now.
Yeah, and shout out
he's
to...
Is he in year two? He's in year two.
Mm-hmm.
If he makes the NCAA tournament at Samford...
That's impressive.
In year two, they've been to two tournaments, 99 and 2000. That's it.
Yeah, that's very impressive. And reminder that some of those first-round games of the NCAA tournament will be played in Birmingham. So if the bracket were to be released today, according to CBS, you'd have Houston and Northwestern State. Shout out my best friend Logan, who is working down there right now. I went to high school with him, best friends growing up. He works down there in their athletics department. They're very excited about Northwestern State. They're matched up against Houston. You'd have that game. You'd have Maryland, Oklahoma State, Alabama, UNC, Asheville, and then Iowa and Memphis, the games that would be played in Birmingham. So those are some decent matchups. Of course, Alabama would have a massive home court advantage playing in Birmingham, but
though the second round matchup in those games could be really interesting for Alabama.
Iowa,
a Memphis team that arguably based on shot quality should have beaten Alabama earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Iowa, that's a really good offensive team that might be able to go step for step, but I think they're the fifth best offense in the country.
Where's their defensive rank? Do you know off the top of your head for Iowa?
I had it pulled up a second ago.
Because that's the thing that people are forgetting about this Alabama team. They can play defense.
Iowa has the fifth best offense, and they're 145th in defense.
See, I don't like that matchup for them because they can't run with Alabama offensively. I don't think they can because Alabama is better defensively. Alabama can play defense. People are forgetting that. This is a good defensive team for Alabama.
Fair, but in Big Ten play, we have seen this Iowa team held below 80 four times. So they can score. And they can score against some really good defensive teams in the Big Ten.
Which is fair. I think it'd be an interesting matchup. I think it'd be one that Alabama would win. I think Alabama would beat Iowa. Because, again, I just think Alabama plays good enough defense to slow teams down, and nobody besides Tennessee right now is going to stop Alabama offensively. So some interesting matchups. I wanted to look at it as Auburn, according to CBS, is an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament. That's right around what everybody's predicting right now, which means, yes, you're in, but you still got some work to do. Auburn goes on the road to play Vanderbilt on Saturday. They have Ole Miss next week, and then they hit their last little gauntlet of the season at Kentucky, at Alabama, and home for Tennessee. We got to get to our first break here in hour number two, and I've got two more baseball tickets for Auburn, Indiana on Sunday. First one to call, you got them, 334-321-1390. We'll have some more basketball talk when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Shane, you're on the line. Welcome in.
Hey, guys. How are y'all today?
Doing good,
right,
man.
Shane.
Hey, so I just want to talk about the game a little bit from last night. And so imagine if we play with that intensity the whole rest of the way through.
Yeah.
I feel like... I feel like everybody that was on the floor last night, was it last night?
It was Tuesday.
Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they they had, like, I know that everybody's saying it was a must-win game, but isn't everyone from here on out? So maybe, you know, maybe if they can bring that intensity, you know, we can pull this together a little bit. We're not going to win with regular season or anything crazy like that, but, you know, maybe Sweet 16 would be an optimistic outlook.
Yeah, Shane, I mean, I think once you get to the tournament, it's all about matchups, and yeah. Auburn needs to keep winning games for to improve their seeding and try to see if they can draw some better matchups. Because, I mean, when you look at this team, and when we talked about that game being a must-win game, it's a must-win game because they had lost five of their last six going into that one. And then you knew you had a three-game stretch where you're going to be the favorite in all three games against Missouri, at Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss. And if you win those three, I think you seal up the NCAA tournament. And then you can really change your seeding depending on those last three games of at Kentucky, at Alabama, Tennessee at home, because they're all quad one wins, and Auburn only has two of them, so they need to probably add another one to the resume. But, I mean, seeding matters. It's going to matter in the NCAA tournament. It's going to matter in the SEC tournament. Auburn is still very much alive for the four seed in the SEC tournament, still technically alive for the three seed. I know Tennessee has the tiebreaker as of right now and the one-game advantage as it stands. But, I mean, if you look at CBS, Shane, Auburn is an 8 seed matched with Purdue or Pittsburgh. If they win, they'll run into Purdue. And unlike on Tuesday, where Auburn down low was bigger and better than Missouri's big men, and was able to, you saw Jani and Dylan have great games against Purdue. Zach Edey might absolutely wreck Auburn in a way that we've never seen.
Yeah, I don't want to play Purdue at all. But what are the chances that you think that we could go the last three? We could pull two out of the three.
I think it would be, it's realistic. I think, to be honest with you, I think it's realistic.
There's a chance.
The game at Alabama, I'm going to go ahead and chalk it up as a loss just because of how good Alabama is playing in Coleman. It'll be the first sellout of the year. It's going to be a tough environment. It's going to be a tough game, and Auburn is not going to be favored in that game. They're not even going to be predicted at close to be winning that. Like, realistically, put that one as a loss. Now, any other year, Auburn going on the road to Rupp Arena, I would put that as a loss because Auburn has not won there in 30 years. Like, they have not won there in a long time.
I thought we did
a couple years ago.
No, we have. Auburn has not won at in Rupp since 1988.
And so any other year, I would say that Auburn going on the road to play Kentucky is an automatic loss. But we know that this Kentucky team is not all that. They are solid, but they are not all that great. Now, they did get a big win on the road last night against Mississippi State. But Auburn, if they play well and if they play like they did against Alabama, if they play like they did Tuesday night, they have a chance to go on the road and take down Kentucky. And if they play that way again, the final game of the year against Tennessee, they have a good chance to beat that team because they should have beaten them in Thompson Bowling Arena, Shane. So those final three games,
I think that one's a win.
It's realistic, but it's also realistic for Auburn to go 0-3 in that stretch.
Yeah, 100%. Another thing to keep in mind. Another thing to keep in mind with Kentucky, with that matchup is they've been without C.J. Frederick and Sevier Wheeler these last couple games. I don't know exactly what the status is. I know they have not been practicing to this point. But if those guys are still out when Auburn goes to Rupp, Auburn's got a great chance. If they are at full strength, obviously those chances lessen a little bit.
But even if the guy comes back, that, you know, then he comes back for Auburn, you saw how, Jalen Williams, who was hurt the other day for us? Anyway, he came back rusty for a couple games.
Oh, you know?
Chris Moore. So you know, it's not not just talk it up at the guy come back at 100%. So I think Kentucky is a realistic. You know, I would say right now 50-50, and then I think playing at home for Tennessee, I think that's a win if we can just play how we did there.
I agree.
You know, in their house.
If as long as Auburn can score, they should have a good chance to beat that Tennessee team.
So, if we do all these wins, what's our seeding? So that goes, if we go up, what, two spots or something?
If Auburn is to beat Vanderbilt and Ole Miss like they should and like we think they will, and if they do 2 of 3, taking Kentucky and Tennessee, right now you're looking at an 8 seed. I could see Auburn climbing, yeah, to about a 6 seed. I don't see them getting all the way to a 5 seed, but I could see them in maybe with some wins in the SEC tournament. But again, don't bank on that. Don't bank on seeding improving because you win there. I could see Auburn getting to a 6 seed, but that'd be about it.
All right, guys, War Eagle.
Yep, appreciate the call, Shane. Good to hear from you. That is Shane joining us on the phone lines. We got about a minute before we get to break. And stay tuned. We're going to talk to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. So looking forward to that coming up. And but, no, I think if Auburn does what they should and beat Vanderbilt, beat Ole Miss, they got to play well, but if they should beat those teams. And if you somehow go 2 of 3 in those final three, taking Kentucky and Tennessee – I think a 6 seed is realistic, don't you think?
I mean, yeah. I if you handle your business in the next two, which this Saturday is such a trappy spot for Auburn against a team that is playing a lot better. So if you get through this one, I feel really good about Ole Miss, especially with they've not been at full strength for a while now. Because I believe, I don't think he is back at least, Dayshon Ruffin, the former Auburn commit, he has stepped away from the team for mental and physical health reasons. Auburn should win that. They'll be in the tournament. If you take 2 out of 3, yes, I think a 6 seed is realistic.
Auburn has work to do. There's no doubt about it. But we got to get to our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we'll talk to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss it.
With Jacob Goins and Carter Bird on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins, Carter Bird with you on ESPN 106.7. Well, welcoming in our Thursday guest, it is Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Chris, hope all is well with you. I know you are a very busy man as SEC basketball rolls on. Baseball starts tomorrow. In football, we got the announcement today of the lineup that will be at SEC Media Days, what coaches will be on what days, and we'll start there. Anything that sticks out to you about coaches that'll be at SEC Media Days in Nashville in July?
No, I mean, the only thing that stood out was that, you know, that this had been rumored for a couple of years. They've been wanting to move it to, you know, kind of move it around, and that Nashville was on the docket, you know, for years and years and years. SEC Media Days always held in Hoover, Alabama, and then, you know, a couple of years ago they got exotic and tried it in Atlanta, and then did Atlanta again, and now here we go off to Nashville. And, you know, I've been told that, you know, with the expansion west of adding Oklahoma and Texas, that Dallas and Houston are very much on the table for future SEC Media Days.
That's so, what I was going to ask.
Yeah, so that was kind of, you know, the gist of it, you know, seeing Brian Kelly and Mizzou and, you know, getting them out of the way on the first day. Yeah, I always stay for every day. It's interesting. There's some beat writers that go just for, you know, the day that their school is there. But for me, it doesn't matter how they spread them out. I'm there all 4 days. So makes no difference to me. But excited. I've never been to Nashville. So this will be one that I could check off the bucket list.
Chris, why don't they, when I look at this lineup and how they've kind of divvied up all these coaches, why don't they put Lane Kiffin on a day where, like, a Nick Saban's there or a Jimbo Fisher or Brian Kelly, somebody, or Hugh Freeze, somebody to maybe throw a little gasoline on the fire and get some spicy quotes in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying to avoid a murder, you know. I think that's part of it. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Hugh Freeze being there on day two, and if they follow this order, you know, maybe, you know, it's him before Kirby Smart, but Lane in Ole Miss on the last day. It's funny, the last day is kind of when everybody starts to bail. I think those are three big dogs with Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Tennessee all on the final day. So we'll see how many media stick around for the end of media days. But Yeah, it's just kind of become like that last day becomes such a throwaway day for a lot of people because they're all just looking to get out of there as quick as possible.
Yeah, well, there should be some interesting storylines. You bring up, obviously, Hugh Freeze, first year at Auburn for media days. You have Josh Heupel, who you just talked about on the final day, coming off a very historic season for Tennessee. Billy Napier coming off of a rough year one out of Florida. Kirby Smart with back-to-back national championships. Should not be a shortage of storylines in Nashville.
Yeah, there will be. And of course, you know, Zach Arnett making his first trip there with the death of Mike Leach. That's going to feel weird for everybody not having Leach there because he's been, you know, I don't care what I'm doing during media days because I'm always so busy. But, you know, I always found time to grab a seat and go listen to Mike Leach when he talked because, you know, he'd have like a six-word opening statement, like, all right, any questions? And then he would just go. So that'll be kind of sad. I was really surprised when I saw, you know, look, we're in the fodder time where, you know, it's talking season where, you know, we haven't started spring ball yet, but I was really surprised when I saw the article the other day that somebody put out there that, you know, if Billy Napier doesn't turn this thing around this year, that he's already on the hot seat. And it's like, my God, he just got there. Mm-hmm. Like, can we give these coaches a little leeway? And what's crazy, guys, this leads into the conversation of conference expansion and, you know, bringing Oklahoma and Texas in starting next summer. You know, what is the standard right now? Like, the standard right now is most teams, a good season is going 10-2, right? If you can't win the SEC East or the SEC West and get to Atlanta, going 10-2 and winning a big bowl game is a good season, like Tennessee just had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the new standard with the schedule, you know, if we go to a non-conference game schedule with three permanent, you know, teams and then a revolving door of the others, I think an 8-4 type season, we're going to start considering a successful season because it's just going to get tougher, man. Like, think of your schedule where you're going to lose a cupcake like a Mercer or a San Diego State or somebody, and now you're adding Oklahoma or, you know, a road trip to Oklahoma or a road trip to Texas. It's just going to make the schedule more difficult on everybody. And I just wonder, like, what's going to be the standard on, you know, Billy Napier's already in the hot seat in year two, you know, right now. What's it going to be when Oklahoma and Texas get here, where the schedules get even tougher? Like I always say, like, somebody's got to suck. Somebody's got to be bad. Not everybody can have 9-10 win seasons. So it's that, you know, that's just another interesting dynamic of this whole thing.
Chris, if we go to that three permanent opponent, six rotating format that a lot of people are very high on, do you see Birmingham and Greg Sankey? Do you see them going all in on rivalries? Because, I mean, I'll be honest with you, when I look at that, you can make it really difficult on some of the top programs in your conference. Or do you see them trying to balance it out and see how many teams they can get to that 12-team playoff at the end of the year?
Well, I think the priority number one, first and foremost, is you got to preserve a lot of the rivalry games, as many as you can. And let's just be real. I mean, Auburn, I think you can almost go ahead and pencil in Alabama and Georgia as two of their permanent crossovers. It sucks for Auburn because that's brutal. It's two of the toughest teams in the conference. It just sucks. You know, it just so happens that those are your two rivals. And so I don't think that's going to change. Now, I did see, I think, Brandon Marcello from 24/7 Sports, he put out his projections on how he would do it. I think he had Vanderbilt as Auburn's third team. So I was like, well, that softens the blow. If I got to play Bama and Georgia every year, give me Vandy as my third team every year.
I think it was Athletic had Florida as the third one.
Yeah, no, that's stupid. Why,
there you go.
Like, if I'm Hugh Freeze, I would be at the league office tomorrow saying, hey, this isn't fair. you know, for Alabama, if they get, you know, I think Marcello had Auburn, Tennessee, LSU. Now that Tennessee's coming out of the doldrums of suckness,
that's,
I mean,
tough.
that's actually a pretty tough one with Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU. It's just, the thing is, I don't know how you make it fair. I just know this. You know, I have a diehard LSU friend who complained for years, you know, where Tennessee was going through their awful years, that Alabama's permanent crossover was Tennessee and LSU's permanent crossover was Florida. And of course, going through all those Urban Meyer years with Tim Tebow and all that, where they were rocking and rolling. You know, there were some years where LSU's two crossovers in the East were Florida and Georgia, and Bama's was Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Like, not every SEC schedule is created equal. So at least with this, it feels like we're going to get back to a more level playing field where, okay, there might be a year where you have a really tough schedule, but then the next year where it rotates out, it might be a little bit easier schedule for you. So at least from that standpoint, I hope that they go that route because, you know, at least it'll be a little bit more fair on everybody.
Speaking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, we were talking football about media days and the expansion with Texas and Oklahoma. Let's transition into basketball a little bit where we've seen the SEC be... Some people say it's down this year. Some people say it's just more competitive this year. And you see Alabama as the number one team in the country. They lose for the first time in conference play last night against Tennessee. You've seen rankings and projections all over the place for the SEC when it comes to the NCAA tournament. Where do you grade the SEC as a conference right now when it comes to teams that are going to make the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, it's down. I mean, it's okay to say that it's down. Alabama, I think, is still the elite of the elite. They lost a tough game at Tennessee the other night, but I give them credit. They didn't give up. I mean, they battled and hung in there with Tennessee most of that game. I give Auburn credit. I mean, they hung in there with Alabama for as much as they could over the weekend, and I thought they took out their frustrations very well the other night, crushing Missouri. And that's a pretty decent Missouri team. They're not great by any means, but they're not, you know, they're in the upper half of the SEC this year. A&M is a surprise team, man. Like, I continue to be floored by, you know, how well they play. And to take care of Arkansas the other night, Arkansas is starting to get healthy now with Smith back. I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Arkansas does because their resume right now stinks. I mean, they're sitting there sub 500 in the SEC. And so when we talk about teams, you know, with work to do, Kentucky goes in and it puts an awful loss on their resume, losing to Georgia last weekend. So they've got work to do. I think almost Kentucky's got to win out and then maybe win a game or two in the SEC tournament to get in. So I think right now the only teams you could say have absolutely punched their ticket to the tournament, barring an utter collapse, is Bama, A&M, Tennessee, and Auburn. And Kentucky with some work to do. Maybe Missouri can go through a run in the SEC tournament and get a bid there. But I think we're looking at only just four or five teams from the SEC getting in this year.
So you're a lot higher on Auburn in terms of their tournament hopes than I feel like most people are.
Higher than we are, for sure.
I mean, I was looking at that. I think you've got a trap game this weekend against Vanderbilt, a Vanderbilt team that on paper does not look good but has been playing a lot better recently. Do you view that as a game that Auburn might trip up in, but absolutely cannot afford to lose?
Yeah, that's why I say like barring an utter collapse. I mean, you know, I think these next, at least these next two games, mm-hmm. Auburn has to win. I mean, win at Vandy, you have to take care of lowly Ole Miss. And then there's that backstretch of the schedule with at Kentucky, at Bama, and then home for Tennessee. At worst, you got to go 1-2 in that mix. If you can go 2-1, that would definitely help your cause. Somebody brought that up to me the other day. They said, what's Auburn's best resume win on the season? And when you look at the schedule, it's like, yeah, they beat Arkansas when they were ranked 13th, but Arkansas is a much different team now.
Yeah.
It becomes difficult because, you know, some of the tougher games are the ones that they've lost throughout the year. So I'm still going to be bullish on them. I'm still going to say Auburn does get in. But, yeah, like I said, barring an epic collapse, if they lose to one of these teams they have no business losing to, then, yeah, they'll certainly find their way out of it.
Well, it certainly helps that they're getting a lot of help over the last 2 weeks by Northwestern going on a 4-game winning streak and getting some huge wins.
Yeah, and again, that's, you know, every time there's a team you play in the non-conference that maybe at the time you didn't think of was good, but then they start winning, all you can do is root for them on any given night to help build up your resume. But look, there's still work left to do, and again, those are three tough environments you got to go into. I say tough environment, it's not like Vandy, the home crowd brings it. But it's just a tough environment because of how it's laid out. And, you know, people always say it's tough shooting there because of the depth perception and all that with the arena. But, look, if Auburn loses Saturday, that's certainly going to hurt their chances.
Chris, we had a caller, I believe it was either early this week or late last week, that asked us a question about Alabama. And obviously they lose last night to Tennessee. But at this point in the season, with what Alabama has done in non-con play and conference play, being the number one team in the country, is it Final Four or bust for this Alabama team right now?
Yeah, it's got to be. I mean, they're one of the most talented teams in the country. You know, they've got tremendous bench play. Brandon Miller, I was looking at one of the mock drafts earlier today. They got him going top, like, third overall or fourth overall in the mock drafts. This Nate Oates, he's recruited well and built this team up. They got to go on a deep run, or else it is a disappointing season. I've been impressed with their bench scoring. You know, Javon Quinterly's been, it's almost cheating to have that kind of guy coming off your bench to give you some bench scoring. But, I don't put much stuff, losing to Tennessee the other night, I don't think is going to necessarily hurt them. If they can run the table and win out, and keep in mind, they finished the season at A&M. That's not an easy place to play. But right. If they can win out, I think Bama's got a good chance to get that one seed still.
Chris, tomorrow baseball season kicks off in the SEC, and as we know, it's a ridiculously hard league. I think if you look at the D1 baseball preseason poll, I think 7 of the top 10 are SEC teams, and I think the entire SEC West is, and before the season starts, is projected to make the tournament. What are you expecting from this opening weekend, and what are you expecting from the SEC this season?
Well, it starts with LSU. They're the preseason number one in every publication. They're absolutely loaded, and so looking forward to seeing them. They're actually going to have some bad weather going through Baton Rouge tomorrow night, so they actually moved up their game. I think it's like Eastern Washington or somebody bad they're opening the season with, but they moved that game up already to a 3:00 start tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to knocking off a work a little early and catching them, and then catching some of the other SEC teams in the evening. But I'm actually going to be scheduled to talk with Ben McDonald from the SEC Network later tonight. We'll have that up on our podcast on Locked On SEC tomorrow, just kind of getting a general discussion on the landscape of the SEC, where, you know, a couple of SEC teams have won the title recently, Mississippi State and then Ole Miss. And, you know, will that be LSU this year? Will there be a dark horse in the SEC? Tennessee, can they maybe live up to expectations after falling short a year ago? There's a lot of, interesting topics, but man, the conference is loaded once again. And the transfer portal, we've seen the effect on football. Man, we're seeing it on baseball too. It's funny, I was just previewing, looking at some of the teams earlier, and Ole Miss has got an outfielder from Tulane coming in. LSU's got transfers from all over. The guy Tommy Tanks that set the freshman record for home runs at NC State a year ago. So a lot of new faces in the conference, but man, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch on Friday night and see all these teams get going.
Yes, it is. It's exciting when baseball and basketball cross over here in late February, early March, and we are excited about it as well. Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, he joins us every Thursday at 3:30 here on the Line. Man, we appreciate you and your time every single week. Let everybody know where they can find you, find your podcast, and what you got coming up. You already previewed it a little bit with a baseball episode coming up tomorrow.
Yeah. This week we just spent a little discussion talking about the Mike Bobo hire at Georgia. Some people, particularly Georgia fans, thinking it's a disaster. So we got that up there at Locked On SEC. And like I said, tomorrow we'll have that conversation with Ben McDonald previewing the SEC baseball season. And, of course, we'll be talking some more college hoops as the season winds down. So, yeah, check it out. Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast.
Chris, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Again, he joins us every Thursday, 3:30, right here on the Line. We appreciate him. He always has fantastic things to say. And we're getting some coffee mugs made, and it's going to read, "Somebody has to suck, quote Chris Gordy," because that was what he said, and that's pretty much, that's the best line I think he's ever dropped on this show. So we got to get to our final break here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up the Thursday edition of On the Line, big thank you to Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Just got off the phone with him, talking some SEC football news, talking Auburn basketball, SEC basketball, and previewing SEC baseball, which starts tomorrow as well. So if you missed any of that interview or any of today's show, be sure to go and catch up with the podcast. You can find it at ESPNAU.com. Click on the podcast center, and you can find it right there. Commercial free right after the show, or just just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Something I thought was interesting is Chris said he has Auburn as he, first of all, he said you could be looking at the SEC only having four or five teams in the NCAA tournament. He had Auburn as a lock in the tournament as of right now.
Well, he said barring a collapse, which I guess his collapse is considering the fact that you are going to get a win on Saturday. That's the one. Ole Miss at home, I'm not that worried about. But I am very worried about Saturday in Nashville against Vanderbilt. I don't think it's a great matchup for Auburn's bigs, and I continue to be worried about that. This is the first year that, like, with this Auburn team, matchups absolutely have me spooked because I know where Auburn's weaknesses are. When you've seen Auburn's big men disappear when they've seen some size and some physicality, you saw Auburn's guards, or Auburn struggle with Alabama's guards on Saturday, struggle to protect the rim. There are certain spots where I don't think Auburn matches up well, and I feel Vanderbilt might be one of those.
Very well could be. And look, I'm still worried about the Vanderbilt game. Do I feel better about it given Auburn's performance on Tuesday? Sure, absolutely. But is Auburn going to play that well on the road against Vanderbilt? We'll see. Are they going to jump out to a huge lead to start the game against Vanderbilt? I don't know. I think it's going to be a dogfight, and Auburn, that's another game where you cannot afford to lose right now against teams that you're favored to beat and that you should beat. But I'm with you. Matchups kind of scare me a little bit when it comes to Auburn and Vanderbilt on Saturday. We'll talk some more about that tomorrow. Jack Hutton should be in to join us. We'll talk some baseball, basketball, maybe some football as well. Should be a fantastic end to the week, but we are out of time. Come back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.